Chapter 28. Break Allegro. The Orphean trials are held at a ski resort not far from Mistwick, in a pretty, snow-laden vale between three high mountain peaks. After a short trip in the school Zeppelin, the Purple Bumblebee, we disembark into a chaotic frenzy of instruments, magic, and puffy ski jackets. For a moment, we stand blinking in the sunlight, as all around us, the students of the other music craft schools run and throw snowballs. There are maestros milling around, chatting, and lots of parents, too. Several kids from our group spot theirs and run to greet them, including Darby, whose mom waits in a red coat, her black hair the exact same shade as Darby's. She tows Mia along with her, and her mom grabs them both in a big hug.
"Right, then. Inside with the rest of you," orders Mr. Pinwhistle.
He, Miss Mott, and Mrs. LaRue are our three chaperones. Looking around, I try to spot the MBI agents, but they must be well hidden, or disguised. I haven't seen them since this morning, when they teleported ahead of us in a dark black car to scout ahead. What I think they really meant was lay the trap. Jittery, I look around, wondering if the Necromuse is lurking somewhere nearby, just waiting to jump out.
"Relax," Jai tells me. "It's not like we're on our own out here. Not after you told all the grown-ups."
Yeah, Jai still hasn't totally forgiven me for that.
"Do you have any idea what their plan is?"
he whispers. I shrug. Proceed as normal is all they'd tell me.
"Right. Proceed to be bait."
I grimace, nodding. "Leave it to the adults, Amelia," is how Mrs. LaRue had put it. "We know best. Just do your homework and practice your flute and everything will be fine." Well, I guess we'll find out soon if they're right. We deposit our bags in a large dorm room lined with bunk beds. All the Mistwick girls are sharing the space. Soon after, the room clears out as almost everyone heads for the ski rental shop. We have vouchers from the school, good for one day of skiing. But fun is the last thing on my mind. And besides, I've never skied in my life, and I don't intend to start this competition with a broken arm. Instead, in a state of total paranoia, I find a cozy spot in the grand lobby and study my library book of defensive spells. There's not much in it that would really be useful, since I think it was compiled several decades ago, when people were more worried about fending off polio or packs of wolves. But I study the melodies anyway, figuring too much preparation never hurt anyone. The lobby is quiet except for groups of students who wander in to ogle the crystal lyre. It's set in a glass display case in the center of the room, gleaming under carefully positioned spotlights. I'm tucked in next to a big fireplace overlooking the south ski slope, where Mia and Darby are racing each other down the slalom course.
"All study and no play makes for dull competition, you know," says a voice.
A yelp, startled out of my skin as an older boy flops down beside me. Luca D'Alessio? I recognize the Sousa composer from the videos Mr. Pinwhistle made us study. The boy gives a flourishing wave of his hand.
"And you are Amelia Jones."
"You know about me?"
"How could I not? The first composer from Mistwick in a generation. My primary competition. The little girl who summoned an army of the dead all with a flick of her flute."
"It wasn't an army," I mutter. That description sounded way too close to what the Necromuse does. Shaking the thought away, I glance down at Luca's clothes, which are silk and velvet, like some kind of old-fashioned opera star, yet at the same time, ridiculously modern and cool.
"I've seen your compositions," I say.
"I don't think you have much to worry about." He gives me a calculating look, then shrugs.
"Pity. I'd hoped for some real competition, finally. But I think you're right. You are just a little girl in way over her head."
With that, he pops up and swans breezily away. My eyes narrow, a rush of indignation warming my skin. Just a little girl, huh? In way over my head? What a self-obsessed jerk. And yet, he's probably right.
I've been so focused on watching for the Necromuse's next attack that I've barely thought about the competition. My head's not in the game, as my old basketball coach would say before he benched me for the 1,000th time. To be fair, I'm a tragedy at any sport. Noticing that everyone's starting to move to the other end of the room, I sit up and look to see what's going on. Kids are buzzing around a cluster of maestros and medics in white uniforms by the front doors. My heart climbs into my throat. Is this it? Is this the Necromuse's move? Did he hurt one of my friends? I don't see Agent Ned or Agent Alvarez anywhere. Panicking, I push closer and find Jai coming in fresh off the slopes, his hair dusty with snow. It's Chad, he says breathlessly. He fell down, as in off the ski lift and onto his leg. It's broken. The guitarist from Rebel Clef? I feel a rush of relief, followed by a touch of guilt. I feel bad for Chad, but at least it wasn't the Necromuse. Jai Kapoor, yells a voice. Rosa Guerrera appears, her eyes blazing. She grabs hold of Jai and stoops down to look him in the eyes. I'm only going to ask you this once in your pathetic lifetime, Kapoor, Rosa says, so don't screw it up. She draws a deep breath, looking pained, then says, do you want to rock out with us? Jai looks like he's been hit with a ski. Scratch that. Rephrase, says Rosa, gripping him even tighter. You're gonna rock out with us. I remember how you disrespected my guitar back when the school froze over. You'll have to do. You really thought I was that good? Whoa, fact check. The sound you made was tragic, and I wished I could die so I wouldn't have to hear it ever again. But at least you know which end of the guitar is up, which is more than can be said for most of these other nerds. So you're filling in for Chad. Battle of the Bands is tomorrow afternoon, and you're already signed up. I can't do that, Jai protests. Why not? I ask. Jai, this is like your wildest dream come true. Because. He runs a hand over his face, then peeks at me between his fingers. My dad's here. What? His voice goes shrill. I didn't think he'd come. He was supposed to have a thing with the Philharmonic of someplace or other, but I guess it got cancelled. I saw him arrive an hour ago, and I've been avoiding him ever since. You're gonna have to tell him the truth, sooner or later. Later, then. Later sounds great. Rosa groans. Forget it. We'll just get someone else to play. It's not like we have a shortage of talented musicians around here. I'll get Gregory. Gregory, he echoes flatly. The same Gregory who puts mayonnaise on his ice cream and can't even say the word toilet out loud without turning red. Yep. That Gregory. Rosa points across the lobby, where the 10th grader in question is crying because he apparently just sipped hot cocoa that was too hot. Gregory doesn't have the soul of a rocker, Jai protests. Gregory will ruin everything. Rosa's right, I say. This is for the best. Gregory should do it. I mean, face it, Jai. You're a classical violinist, and that's probably all you'll ever be. Amelia, why do I get the feeling you're trying to manipulate me? You, who doesn't have a devious bone in your body. He frowns deeper. Worse, why do I feel like it's working? Shouldering my flute case, I begin walking away. See you around, Jai. I'm going to go shower while the bathroom's empty. I'm not touching that guitar. Okay, fine, whatever. I keep walking. Yeah, whatever. Who cares? I wave my hand, but don't turn around. Not me. Well, me either. So there. As I head up the stairs to our dorm, I smile, knowing my work is done. We're screwed, whispers Victoria, her fingernails anxiously drumming the armrest of her wheelchair. No guitarist, no band. No band, no battle. Are we really going to forfeit? The arena where the Battle of the Bands is held is an impressive sight. Bleachers circle a wide, round stage where four bands are set up at each cardinal point. We're sitting in the northern quadrant, above Rebelclef. Our school band is ready to go. Mics checked, amps on, drumsticks poised. But Chad's lonely guitar rests in its stand, front and center. Rosa Guerrera looks ready to chew nails. The other bands, the Sousa Academy Sonagoats, the San Diego Conservatory Warblers, and the Miami School Muses, are all accounted for and getting restless. The rest of their school teams sit behind them, along with any parents or other supporters, holding banners and signs with slogans like Rock 'em Dead and No Drums, No Glory. Luca D'Alessio catches my gaze and gives me a mocking, pouty look. I stick out my tongue at him. Trash talk zings around the arena like spitballs, mostly directed at us in the Mystwick section. We want a battle, not a surrender. Yo, too scared to face the music, Mystwick? Hey, music cows, yells a Sousa kid. Or is it music chickens? Because your guitarist chickened out. He starts clucking, and it quickly spreads until the entire arena is giving us their best chicken impressions.
This is humiliating, groans Jamal.
Mr. Pinwhistle is growling under his breath. Miss Mott smiles blithely in her seat. I scan the crowd restlessly, chewing my pinky nail. The Necromuse could show up any minute. Heck, he could already be here, blending into the crowd, and I'd never know it until it was too late. Where are the MBI agents? Below us, in the first five rows, are all the parents and families of the Mystwick students. Jamal and Amari's family alone takes up an entire row, and the twins moan and slump in their seats every time one of their aunts or grandparents turn to beam at them. There's nobody there for me, or for Mia. I wonder where her dad is, and if she's thinking about her mom, still missing somewhere out in the sea. Darby sits with her mom, and Jai's dad is in the third row from the front, scowling. I recognize him from my Mystwick auditions, where I'd seen him lecture Jai. Jai will show, I say. How do you know? Asks Victoria. I know because the seat next to me, which was reserved for him, is empty. I know because he didn't say a word all through breakfast, even though they were serving his favorite, waffles and bacon. He just stared at his plate with his eyebrows all scrunched up. I know because Jai is my best friend, and I have complete confidence in his ability to make bad decisions. At least, bad by most standards. After all, openly defying your strict dad in front of hundreds of spectators isn't exactly smart. But what kind of friend would I be if I discouraged him from chasing his dreams, even when it means doing something colossally stupid? Still, after 10 minutes pass, my nerves start to wobble. What if Jai psyched himself out of showing up? What if his dad found out what he meant to do and locked him up or something? What if the Necromuse? He's not coming, sings Mia quietly. I bite my lip as one of the judges walks grimly onto the stage. I can only hope Rosa doesn't tackle the guy. She's staring at him like she's a tiger and he just stepped on her tail.
Unfortunately, says the judge, the rules state that each band must consist of...
Wait! Shouts a voice. I grin as Jai comes running down the aisle.